Word is good. Amen. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, you can go to Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. This is part two of our faith series that we started last week. And we're going to walk out of this series different. Amen. And changed. You know, faith can do those things. And so Mark chapter 5 and verse 25 was where we wanted to start. And I always like to start in this scripture, even if we don't necessarily preach just on these verses, just because it's one of my favorite as far as faith goes, and it's where the Holy Ghost led us to. So, Father, help us tonight. Lord, here are we, Father, hungering and thirsting after you, Father, on such a beautiful evening, a Saturday night, and people have chosen to come and hear your word. And, Father, you told Martha that Mary, when she chose that, Father, it was the right thing, and that, Father, it would not be taken away from her, that things would be put in her, Father, that would be everlasting. And so we thank you tonight as we receive your word, Father. We thank you it goes into us and changes us, Father, for good. Not just to have a good sermon and to feel encouraged, but to actually walk out and be different. And so give me words, Father, from heaven. May I speak with boldness and utterance. Lord, give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Father, revelation, wisdom, encouragement, instruction, correction if need be. Father, we welcome and receive it all. We thank you for all you're doing and all you've done and all you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in Mark chapter 5 and verse 25, very familiar if you're a part of my churches for any amount of time, it says, a certain woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. Well, that's chronic. That's chronic. That's incurable. That's impossible. It says she suffered many things of many physicians, spent all she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse. You know, I think about that verse, and I'll tell you, when I went to the doctor, you know, for that thing I was going through for 2 years, and when you're going to people that are knowledgeable about stuff, and when they look at you and don't have an answer, I'll tell you, that is discouraging to the natural man. That is discouraging to the mind and the flesh, because, you know, you're reaching out to the ones that you expect to have the answers. And I understand that medical science and medicine don't have the answers to everything, so I certainly don't blame the doctors that don't have the answer. If you don't have the answer, you don't have the answer. But I'll tell you, my point of saying that is it's a hopeless place. Yeah. It's a place of great discouragement. It's a place of great despair. And can you imagine, this woman not only is sick, can't get cured, but she's gone broke looking for the cure.
Right.
And so she's what? I mean, she's in the bottom of the barrel here. She's scraping the bottom of the barrel. She's hit rock bottom, the lowest of the lows, and with what? No natural way out. And that's what I want to stress right now, is there's no natural way out of this. But verse 27 says, when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind. She touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway or immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you're asking, who touched me? He looked round about to see her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. I love that whole. Completeness. Praise God. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Well, we read about her earlier that she came into this situation not very whole. Discouraged, despair, hopelessness, sadness, weakness, broke, poverty. I mean, there was no wholeness there. And the Bible says she was healed and she could go away in wholeness. But look at what Jesus gave the credit to. Not his faith, not the church's faith, not the prayer group's faith. He gave the credit to what? Her faith.
That's right.
And what am I trying to say to you? Wow, faith. That's what I'm trying to say to you. Wow, faith. Faith can take situations. There's no hope. There's no help. There's no natural answer. Bottom of the barrel type stuff. Rock bottom type stuff. And make the whole thing turn around. That's encouraging, because we face those kind of things at times.
Yes.
If you haven't recognized, you have an enemy.
Come on.
An enemy who hates you.
Yeah.
that wants to trip you up, that wants to mess you up, that will influence people, influence circumstances, situations, sickness and disease, all sorts of things, and will present things to you through his power, the power of darkness, things that, you know, because the power of darkness is more powerful than the natural power that we possess. Yeah. We were all bound by that power of darkness. We couldn't get out of it naturally. It took the power of God, but the power of God operates through faith, and so faith can get us out of these things. And so we're looking at this series, why? To sew some things up, to strengthen, to solidify the faith. I'm telling you right now, I'm pastoring, talking to people. The devil is active. The devil is active. There are assaults going on. There are pressures. There's oppression. There's torments. There's things happening right now because I believe breakthrough is at hand. Yeah. I believe that change is upon us. I believe that miracles, the age of miracles, the year of miracles, that the devil is trying his hardest to stop that. Yeah. And the way he can do that is if he can get into the church and start messing with people individually and getting people their attention off pressing forward with God and onto their circumstances and in hopelessness and despair, he can stop us from going further because we need everybody to be believing for this. And so I just rejoice, you know, bring it on, devil. bring it on. We have a higher power. But we saw last week, and I'm just going to just real quick just go rifling through these. We won't even look at the scriptures. But last week I presented to you, I wanted to be a faith salesman. You know, a faith salesman. What? Show up at the door, knock on your door, if I'll even get you to answer it, you know. I don't answer the door for people I don't know, but I'm still amazed if there's even such a thing as traveling salesman in 2021 during a pandemic. People still going around knocking on people's doors. But anyways, I think they still exist, but I was attempting to be a salesman to you. And think about what a salesman does at a car lot, right? What do? They present the vehicle to you, and then they what? They try to sell you on it by showing you all the features, all the bells and whistles of it. And let's be honest, it works on us because we pick a certain vehicle over another vehicle because of things we like, the color, how it rides, the safety, whatever it is, but they sell you on that. And so you like it. Same with homes, same with clothes, whatever. And it's the same thing with faith. I wanted to sell you on faith. And so I showed you the bells and whistles of faith last week. And just real quick, we saw that faith is our part. That if we, that to see God move on the earth, to see God move in our life, faith is our part, but it has great potential, doesn't it? It has mountain moving potential. It's the mountains that we need out of our way. And we saw that the only thing that can move the mountains is God, but God needs our faith to do so. Hallelujah. We saw that even that's very foreign to a lot of people in their believing, in their thinking that God would actually need me for something. Well, he wanted you to be saved, didn't he? There's scriptures all over the New Testament where the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, that he's long-suffering, not wanting anybody to go to hell, that Jesus came for whosoever. But that gift is so wanted by God. He gave his son for it. That's how much it was so important to him. But yet it couldn't become a reality in your life until you joined your faith, right? Ephesians 2:8 tells us that. And so God needs our faith. It's our part. But we saw this, that it pleases God. We don't have to worry when we're out on a limb of faith and it seems like, wow, there's nothing out here. No, that's right where God is happy. That's right where God knows things can start working. So we saw that faith pleases God. We saw that faith is what? The currency of heaven. Well, how do we receive? Through faith, the Bible says. And so all things are possible through faith. So everything you're going through, everything you're facing, faith can make it come to pass. Hallelujah. And so I'm already sold on this. I'll take it. I'll sign me up. I want this. But let me finish and tell you here, there's more. We know this, that it's how we overcome, that the Bible says as Christians. You know, and it's unfortunate at times because with our natural eyes, we see a lot of Christians being overcome. Yeah. But one thing you got to be careful of is to not get in the mindset or the mentality of looking at other people and then, you know, taking what they're going through, experiencing, and expecting that that's what you have to go through. Right. You know, I read in a book recently about healing, and I love the way they put it, that I don't know why everybody's sick. I don't know why everybody doesn't get healed, but what I do know is that it's God's will that everybody be healed. Amen. And it's the same thing. You have to understand that the Bible says you, well, I didn't have it pulled up, but in 1 John 5 and verse 4, it says that you can overcome, that overcoming is available to you. Yeah. But we see so many people, and even maybe in our own lives, the history and the calendar has proven over time and time again that we have not overcome, that we'd start thinking, well, if so-and-so's not overcoming or if this is not overcoming, I can't. No, the Bible says the victory to overcome is faith. Yeah. Praise God. And so if you want to be an overcomer in the world, you can't do it without faith. And then we also saw this, that the enemy's against it, because the Bible says don't leave home without the shield of faith. Because with that shield, you can quench every attack, every fiery dart of the wicked one. And so, you know, it's like a military soldier that would go out, and, you know, they went out, they left their helmet, they left their bulletproof vest, they left their equipment, they left their weapon. And the soldier that goes out next to them that has their helmet on, has their Kevlar vest on, has the equipment, has their flashlight, has GPS, has their ability to radio back, has their weapon, it's going to go a lot different in the battle with the person that brings the right thing that doesn't. And unfortunately, I'm telling you, one thing that I love about when the Lord said that one of the mandates for my ministry is to teach people faith is you really recognize how lacking it is. I mean, I grew up in a church that had wooden pews like this. And so, you know, but it was a Methodist church. And the people there were precious, precious people. Loved God. They're going to go to heaven. There's many of them, you know, it was an older church, many of them that had passed away when I was there and have passed away since. They're with Jesus right now. But you know, they loved God so much. They were sweet people. They were faithful to show up. They were faithful to serve. They were faithful, you know, if you had things going on at the church to do things. But yet they never experienced God's highest and best on the earth. Yeah. Their life was filled with poverty. Their life was filled with chaos and crisis and turmoil all the time. Their life was filled with sickness and disease. And here they loved God. Well, what was the reason? Well, we know the devil's our adversary. They would go out into the world and into this life where the devil is without their shield of faith. Why? They didn't even know one existed. In fact, they were under the mentality, and would, you'd know because of the songs they would sing about how lowly we are and how, you know, on the earth we just kind of get by and hang on till we get to the sweet by and by. And that was their mentality. Well, the devil will prey on that ignorance. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And when you don't know that you have to have a shield to go out to stand against the enemy, you won't take that shield. And so that's why a lot of people are the way they are. And so we can't go out without faith. And so we're learning to walk in faith, praise God. But go with me tonight. We'll start in Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 1. And we're going to just keep going on. And even as I was praying, Lord already started dealing me about services to come for this series. I didn't know what order things were going to be in or what he was going to have us to share, but certain things already he's put on my heart about what to share in this series. And so I already know it's going to be at least 3 weeks longer because he dropped those things in my heart. And so we'll see how it goes. But I don't care if it's 20 weeks longer. Yeah. I don't know of a topic in the Bible that we ought to strive to master more than faith. Yeah. Right. Everything depends on it. There's other things you can talk about, but everything ties to the center of faith. And so I don't mind preaching it over and over and over again, because until we're all walking in victory and walking with a smile on our face and a hop in our step, we need it. Yeah. We need it. But anyways, Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now, what I want you to see here, since we're starting this series on faith, I want to tell you what faith is. I want to tell you what faith is. And Hebrews 11 verse 1 is the definition of faith. It says in Hebrews 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so we see here, now I'm going to give you three things if you're a note taker. I want to read that in the Amplified. We don't need to pull that up in the Amplified, but it says that in the King James, it says it's the substance and the evidence. In the Amplified, it says it's the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed, the conviction, right, of things not seen. And so, number one, what faith is you have to understand, is faith is certain or the proof, okay? Faith is certain or the proof. Now, look at the wording it uses here. It says that it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, think about the word evidence in a courtroom, right? A crime is committed, and, you know, there could be DNA left behind. There could be fingerprints left behind. What are those things? Those things are evidence of something not seen.
That's right. That's
the fingerprints tell us you were there even though we didn't see you there.
Yeah.
The DNA, hair samples, things like that tell us you were there in that, even though we didn't see it. Or gunpowder residue on somebody's hand. You fired the gun even though we didn't see you do it. It's
right.
Evidence.
Yeah.
And the Bible says that faith is the evidence of the things we're hoping. Now, in that word hope there, it's not talking about, oh, I hope that would happen. How many know there's two different kinds of hope?
Yeah.
There's a hope of just, you know, pie in the sky. I sure hope that happens. And then there's the hope of expectation. And there's difference. So when it's talking about the things hoped for, the things you're expecting, faith is that evidence. And look what the Amplified says. It's the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. Well, if you don't own a home or if you do own a home or even a car, there's a thing called a title. And you just pretend this is a title, you know, it's a piece of paper. And what's that document say? That document has your name on it with either the address or the type of vehicle or whatever the possession is. And it's proof, right? It's proof. When you go to the DMV, you don't have to take your house with you. You don't have to bring your vehicle inside the DMV. You don't have to bring your boat inside the DMV. No, you bring the title deed. It is what? The proof or the assurance of what we can't see. I can't see your house. I can't see your boat or your vehicle or whatever machinery you're getting registered or whatever. But that title deed proves to me that it exists. Hallelujah. And so what you need to know about faith is that faith is not just wishing.
That's right.
Faith is not just, I sure hope that happens, right? No, faith, true faith, is just like a title deed. Just like the title deed of the house is, I don't need you to see my house. I have proof that I have one. My name right here, I have proof that I have that kind of vehicle or that boat or whatever it is. And that's what faith is. Faith is not uncertainty. Faith is not out there in a place of I hope or I'm not sure. No, no, no. Faith is solid.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Faith is solid, praise God. And we have to understand all those things, that true faith is all those things. And I want to show you, go to Romans 4 in verse 3. There's a reason why I'm saying this, and I'm going to get to an illustration that I've used over and over again. And the reason you say, why do you use these things over and over again? Because I just haven't found anything better that makes sense to me and seems to really fit. But in Romans 4 and verse 3, look what it says about Abraham. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God. What's that mean? Abraham was in faith. What does that mean? He wasn't in wishing. He wasn't in hope land. He was in what kind of land? Well, what do we say faith is? Evidence, assurance, conviction, being sold out, knowing that it is, that it's confirmation, that's like the title deed. So we know that Abraham was in that place. Well, I want to show you what that looks like. And then what we can do is we can then look at our own situations. Because I'm trusting that we're all going through something that we're believing to be different.
Yes. Yeah.
And I have to use the word believing in quotes because sometimes we think we're in faith,
But
maybe we really aren't. And how do we find out? Well, the Bible is light. We go to what the Word says and we look at what the Word says to find out, am I in the right place? Am I doing the right thing? Because who cares what you think? Right? I mean, I'm not saying it to be mean. I appreciate your thoughts and what you're saying, but I'm saying concerning your own life, that's why I love what Paul said about his own self. Remember when he said, I don't even judge my own self. He says, of my own self, as far as I know, there's nothing off here. He says, but God's my judge. I love that. And well, I don't care if I think I'm in faith. I don't care if my mind tells me I'm in faith. The Bible's the only true truth there is. Right? The Bible, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost. And so that will show me and tell me and point to me, am I really in true faith? And if I'm not, I better get in there.
Yeah.
because that's how I receive. But it says Abraham believed God. So go to Romans 4 and verse 17. We know this story. Some of my favorite parts of Scripture here. But in Romans 4, 17, it says, "As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were." Now, think about this. This man that we're about to read about in this situation, we already know he's in faith. So what we read about him are going to exude the characteristics of faith, right? What's going to shine and come off of this is what faith is, because we already were told he's in faith. It says, who against hope believed in hope, verse 18, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, neither when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. And what happened? What are we talking about? We're talking about believing God for a child when you're 100 and your wife's 90. And he believed him. And the Bible says Abraham believed God. And did he receive the promises? He sure did. They received the promises of God through faith. And so for that child to manifest, God wanted it, God's will, but God needed faith. And thank God the Bible tells us exactly what faith looks like and what Abraham's faith was. Hallelujah. And so whatever you're going through, whatever manifestation needs to be birthed, right? Some of us need a job birth. Some of us need change birth. Some of us need finances birth. Some of us need healing birth. Whatever it needs to be birthed, it's God's will for it to be birthed. But for it to be birthed, you got to be in faith. Well, look at what verse 22 or verse 21 says. And being fully persuaded. Do you see that? Fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to also to perform. What does that mean? That means that Abraham was convinced and sold out to the fact that I'm having a baby, right? There's nothing that can talk me out of this. I am fully persuaded. So, If you want to birth things like Abraham had something birthed that needs to be birthed in your life that comes by faith, you have to get to the place where you're fully persuaded that it's coming. Now, that looks like something. Now, the example that I've used for years is my water bottle example. And you've all seen it, but I'm going to show you again because, you know, I think, first of all, I think we get into a rut where we don't even recognize how vital our role is. Well, that's what I'm trying to tell you last week and this week. But then also, we just go and skate along, and at times we can think we're in faith, but this water bottle example really, really brings it out. What is the water bottle example? Well, you know, if I stood here tonight with my arm out, nobody's going to come around me. I'm just going to, the only thing I'm going to do is open my hand, and I were to ask you, how many of you are fully persuaded that when I open my hand, the bottle of water is going to hit the ground? Every single one of us would raise our hand. We are convinced without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, we don't even consider that it wouldn't happen, right? The thought doesn't even enter in that it might float or it might not hit the ground or it might just stay in his hand. No, you are sold out that when I open my hand, this bottle's dropping and hitting the ground. You are fully persuaded. Nobody can talk you out of it. Nobody can talk you out of it. A family member that you trust can't talk you out of it when you're fully persuaded, right? I'm telling you, the people that are smart naturally can't talk you out of that. You are convinced. Well, what are you saying? You're saying, I believe or I have faith because you've never seen me drop this water bottle, but you're saying, I am persuaded or I have faith or I believe, because that's all what faith really is, just all entangled in those words, that it's going to hit the ground. You're convinced of it. What is that? Why is that example what's that example to show you? What faith looks like. Well, okay, now comes maybe the not so fun part. Now we take that same conviction, that same persuasion, we take that same absolute sold out mindset that you can't talk me out of that, and we bring it over to our situation. Are we that convinced our healing will manifest? Are we that? Because remember, what I just showed you, It was persuasion and convincing, but it was nothing more than just faith.
Yeah.
It was nothing more than just believing.
Yeah.
Are we that convinced that our finances are going to turn around as we are as the bottle hitting the ground? I don't know the answer to that, but I'll tell you what. I know how convinced I am that the bottle's going to hit the ground. Are we that convinced for the turnaround, the change in our life? If we're not, we're not in what faith is.
Yeah.
Remember, there's measures of faith, but there's not levels of faith. And what I mean by that is faith is faith. Once you're in faith, you're in faith. You can grow your faith, but there's not like a half in, half out faith. You either believe or you don't.
Come on. Amen.
Amen. And I know my conviction. I know how sold out I was on that. Well, when I bring that to my other things, I need to ask myself, am I that persuaded? Because all you did was believe something you didn't see yet, and all you did was by saying yes, you say, I believe in something.
Yeah.
Do you believe in your situation that much? If not, I'm here to tell you, you're not in faith. And faith is what? The conviction, the assurance, the evidence, the sold out, the fully persuaded.
Yeah.
That's what faith is. Are we there? What is this doing? Locating ourselves. And maybe we'll be there, and hopefully we are there, but if we're not, if we need work, that's okay. That's what this series is for. Because what does the devil prey upon? The devil preys upon lack of faith. Because when there's no faith, he has an entryway, because the only thing that stops all of his attacks is faith. Hallelujah! So number one, faith is certain, it's the proof. But number two, and now this, go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I'm going to be honest with you here. This is the area that people struggle in. It's the area that I've had to, in times, with things that I'm believing for, really give myself a talking to, or really refine, or you know, solidify these things. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things unseen. So number two, faith is of the unseen realm. And that's where people trip up. Hallelujah. In the Amplified, it says that faith is what is not revealed to the senses. And let's be honest, we're a carnal being, right? We are. We are flesh and blood. We feel, we see, we touch, we hear. You know, we rely on our senses, don't you? You don't drive without your senses. You don't come off this platform without your senses. You don't walk down the stairs without your senses. Can't do it, right? You need those senses. We rely on them. We become so dependent on them. And the reason that people don't, one of the main reasons people don't walk into this faith is because there's nothing to do with the senses, the very thing that you rely on every single day. Hallelujah. Think about this. This illustration, the Lord gave me this today. If you walk into a pitch black room, even in your own house, even if you know where things are, but you know, you could be in a room where you don't know things are, but even when things are, if it's pitch black, you know there's things you don't want to run into. You know there's sharp corners. You know there's things you don't want to bump into, maybe important things, or there's stairs. And so you walk into a pitch black room. Well, what happens when you walk into a pitch black room? One of your main senses is immediately cut off.
That's right. Yeah.
So what do you immediately do? You go to the next sense.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Because if this sense is called, I need something, because I'm uncomfortable when I can't see, so I got to go to the next thing, which is to sense by touch.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, that shows us, that shows us how reliant we are and how uncomfortable we are when we can't see.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
When there's nothing to go to our senses, it puts us naturally in a very uncomfortable place. And many people can't get past that. Many people can't break over that divide of the faith is not of the sense realm. And so therefore, they never walk into anything. Go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and verse 19. Now remember, Abraham believed God. Abraham was in faith. What's that mean? He was persuaded, but also that Abraham had nothing natural to go by. Right? Nothing natural to grab onto and say, okay, this is comfortable now. I have something to hold on to. I have something I can see. I have something I can sense. Nope. In Romans 4 and verse 19, it says, being not weak in faith. So weak people or weak faith people, weak in faith are people that what? That need the senses. And it's the great faith people that get great things in their lives. Amen. It's true. And so here we see in Romans 4:19, he considered not his own body now dead. So what's that tell us about his body? The very thing that you would associate with the process of making a child, and then it goes on to say, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, two natural things, were two things that were completely cut off from his senses. Right? The body of his wife and the body of himself, the process of a husband and a wife to make the child, were that was not an option. So there was not one thing that he could look at, feel, or see, right, or touch, and that would be able to say, I can look at this with what I'm comfortable with, or I can grab onto this and know that what God has said is coming to pass. Nope. All the senses were shut off. That's why he was in faith for something there was nothing you could see. And this is why people trip up, because actually, when you're in faith, what you can see oftentimes are absolutely testifying with a megaphone of how you won't see what you need to see. What am I talking about? Well, when I was going through my incurable sickness, there was nothing, no doctor, no therapy, no medicine, no natural cure for me to look to. In fact, I was reading things about people that struggled with that, and many people had taken their life because it was so tormenting. And so things I was looking at and seeing were symptoms, were doctors telling me no, were things that were impossible. And they're all screaming at me, and God is expecting me to walk around in that with symptoms, like I am convinced and fully persuaded as much as the water bottle is going to hit the ground. You see why people struggle to step over that? Because the natural's so loud and in your face and bombarding you. Just imagine how loud Abraham's body would have been. How loud his wife's body would have been. How loud the medical community and people around them would have been talking. You're crazy. All that. And God expected him to believe. Why? That's what faith is. That's what faith is. When there's no money. When there's no hope. God expects you to expect the money to be there. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. And see, I think that if we don't get these things solidified in us, because the contrary or the contradiction to what God says we can have at times can be so real to the very thing we've relied on, our senses, right? Yeah. When you feel the symptoms or you can see the checkbook or you can experience what's going on at work or in your family, like the very thing you've always relied on is testifying to you it's not good and there's no hope. Right, and so you got to get past all that. And if you're not aware that when you're in a true faith battle, because what those things testify is you are in trouble, that you can't get out of that. But God's not concerned with that. God's not moved by that. But you have to get where you're not moved by that. Right. We have to become comfortable with being uncomfortable to receive from God, because there's nothing comfortable about being sick and believing you're well. There's nothing comfortable in the natural about believing things are going to turn around when hell on earth is in your face all the time. But 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 says, for we walk by faith. What's that mean? We conduct ourselves and walk by something. You see that? We walk by something, and we'll get back to that in a second. We walk by something, but we walk by faith, not by sight. So the one thing that is so comforting is when you're in a situation of the impossible and need it turned around, when you can't see the answer, when you can't see a result or the solution, or everything's screaming impossible, that's okay. Because we don't have to see or feel it or experience in our senses for it to be true or come to pass. Abraham didn't need Sarah's womb to be okay. He didn't need his age to be whatever age was appropriate back then for having a child. He didn't need that thing. All he needed was faith. But when you're in that place of faith, you have to recognize when you're in that true place of faith, there's no light at the end of the tunnel. Naturally, I'm saying. There's nothing to grab on and hold on to, right? I mean, you ever ridden with someone in the vehicle? And first thing you look for is the thing on the top to grab onto to hang on. It's like, wow, there's little crazy drivers, you know, going around the corners and stuff. I don't like the cars that don't have them. Right? But why do you do that? Because when things get rocky and rolling, you have something to grab onto. Yeah. With faith, there's nothing natural, and our senses hate that. Yeah. Our senses hate that. But you need to understand that that's part of it. Hallelujah. Now, Abraham walked in this faith, verse 20, Romans 4 and verse 20, the unseen realm. Romans 4 and verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You know, an indicator of whether or not you're in faith or not is the things that come out of your mouth. Faith is of the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Well, the Bible said that this man had praise coming out of his mouth. I heard it said one time, and it's the truth, that praise is the voice of faith. If you're really in faith, you're praising. Yes. You're praising the one that's going to cause it to come to pass. You are convinced. You are sold out. And what's he doing? He's walking around, thank you for my baby. Thank you. I praise you, Father. You're able to do this. You are mighty. You're bigger than this. I thank you, Lord. I'm having a child. Thank you, Lord. We're having a kid. Praise God. Well, let me ask you, another indicator of faith is how are you talking? How are you acting? Just because you can act a certain way and talk a certain way, if you're sitting around at home thinking doom and gloom, you're not in faith. Right. I'm not saying doom and gloom thoughts won't come. But when you're fully in faith, you just cast those thoughts out. You start thinking of the positive. Right. You start expecting. You start planning. You start doing things. You start having, faith has actions to it. Yes. Well, some of the actions are faith, our words, our praise, our planning, our daydreaming. Daydreaming is an action of faith. Oh, I need a new vehicle. I'm in the worst vehicle. Are you picturing yourself driving down the road in that new vehicle? Are you picturing yourself in that new home, in that new situation you need to be in? If you're not, you're not in faith.
That's good. That's so good.
You're not in faith. And see, what the devil will try to do is, and I'll tell you, I've been here, done this, had to repent, renew my mind to things, is he'll say, oh, you don't want to get your hopes up. When you're in faith, it's not about having your hopes up. When you're in faith, you are convinced it's happening. When you're in faith, your hopes are already up. If your hopes aren't up, you're not in faith. Right? Hallelujah. Being convinced, being sold out. And you'll daydream, you'll start planning, you'll start expecting things, you'll start talking different. You won't be in discouragement, despair, right? I'm not saying the symptoms and things won't be hard at times. But the attitude, the way you carry, the air about you, praise God. And Abraham showed us what it's like to be in faith, giving glory to God. It's coming. It's coming. The baby's coming. Hallelujah. Now here's what you need to know. When you're in true faith, you don't have to work that up. Like, when you know, I think about my mom and when we told her that we're having a baby, and the next day we had 20 brand new outfits, all neutral colors. That was a woman that believed something. Well, there's a grandbaby coming. And she didn't have to sit around and think, okay, if I really think there's a baby coming, the baby's going to need clothes. No, no, no. It was a natural response to act on what she believed. When you're truly in faith, you don't have to think, okay, if I was really in faith, I'd be praising right now. You just praise.
Yes. Yeah.
When you're truly in faith, you don't think, okay, I wouldn't say that. No, you're just talking it because it's part of you. Amen? So it's a great indicator of whether or not you're really in faith. See, because a lot of times, because we've looked at the steps, and understand that the steps of faith are to put handles on faith, so it's easier to grab onto faith and what it is. But because we've gone through steps of faith, but at times we've become mechanical about it. We've become like, it's like an equation. okay, I got to do this first, this. No, when you're in faith, it all just comes together. And the reason why it's become mechanical for a lot of people and step-by-step equation type stuff is because they're really not in faith, and we're trying to just mark off the steps, because if we can just mark off the steps, I can get the result. For example, one of the things we'll look at in this series is faith needs to be released through the mouth. And so people think, well, okay, one of the steps of faith is speaking, so I'm just going to say it, and therefore if I say it, I'll get it. You can speak all you want and not be in faith. But when you're in faith, naturally you'll just speak it. I don't have to sit around and think, okay, today I need to confess, today I need to say, no, I'm believing this is coming to pass. I don't need to think about praising today. No, I'm just thanking God's coming because I'm in faith. Yeah. Praise God.
Right.
All right, number three. Now, we saw number two that it's unseen. And 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. But notice it says, we walk by faith. Yeah. Well, go with me to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Praise God.
Praise God.
I'm stirred up tonight.
Yes.
You are too. Praise the Lord. You love faith. I love faith. It says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. So there we see how to get it. The more you meditate in the word, the more your faith will grow. Just the way it works. I've told you my testimony of I was nowhere close to having the conviction or the persuasion that I could come up with $2,000 a month when I didn't have it. So what did I do? I just meditated in the Word, meditated in the Word, meditated in the Word, just saturated myself with prosperity scriptures and finances and abundance and provision stuff in the Word. And what happened? The faith grew. It came. It showed up. It grew. Praise God. And so that's how you get it. But notice this. You can't be in faith apart from the Word. Notice this. True faith only comes by being associated or attached to the Word. Because without the Word, you have no foundation to believe for anything. So this is what I want you to see. When it says we walk by faith, go to Psalms 119 and verse 105. Psalms 119 and verse 105. It is true that naturally there is nothing to look at. It is true that naturally when you're in faith, Psalms 119, verse 105, it is true when you're in faith, naturally there's nothing to see, nothing to grab onto. But we don't just have natural eyes. We have a spirit man that has eyes. And faith, this idea of blind faith, there's no such thing as blind faith.
Yeah.
Because faith is not blind.
Yeah.
It might be blind to our natural man, but it's not blind in the spirit realm.
Yeah.
And what am I talking about? Well, remember, faith only comes by the Word. So you can't separate the Word from faith, but the Word, it gives birth to the faith. It's the knowledge. It's the foundation. You have to have the Word. And then it says in Psalm 119, verse 105, your Word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. Look what he's saying. He's saying the Word is a lamp to your feet and light to your path. What does that sound like, a light and lamp? It sounds like something that helps you to see, to navigate, right? Hallelujah. Now, if you jump back to Romans 4 and verse 24, I know back and forth, here we go, back and forth for the Word. Romans 4, 21, and I'm almost done here, Romans 4, 21. And being fully persuaded that what he just wanted and hoped for, nope. The fully persuasion doesn't come apart from the Word. When you get Word on something, you get your foundation of what to walk on and expect. It says that Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised. So how did he get to a place? He couldn't see it with his natural eyes. He couldn't feel it with his natural eyes. How did he get to a place? He walked by looking at the Word, which was what? You're going to have a baby. You're going to have a baby. When the natural senses can't see it the natural can testify contrary to what the word is our guide when we're blind naturally. You know what the word is almost like? It's almost like a seeing eye dog. I remember going to JCC, and there was a girl there, a young girl. I've told this story before, shocking, I tell all my stories over and over again. And there was a blind young lady at JCC, and she had a dog. And I'd sit back, not out of, gawking or, trying to be mean, but I'd sit back and watch in awe and just being impressed of a couple things. Number one, watching that dog operate. And watching the trust that girl had in that dog. Yeah. We're talking about flights of stairs. Yeah. We're talking about parking lots. We're talking about obstacles outside the campus. We're talking about obstacles inside the campus. Good, yeah. And she can't see a thing. Right. She can't see a thing, but she's relying on that dog as her guide to navigate her and to get her through those obstacles. And I thought, that's amazing. That is absolutely amazing, to go down flights of stairs, to show up at certain places, to not trip and fall into this, to not bang into this, to not get hurt this way. It was absolutely amazing. But that's what the Word is. The Word is our light. The Word is our lamp. Yes. See, we may naturally not be able to see it, but God's Word isn't natural. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are life." Yes. We may walk blindly naturally, but we're not walking blindly spiritually. In fact, He's given us something, the Word of God, that is more real than what the natural says. Remember the children of Israel. The natural said what? Can't have the land, the walls, the cities, the fortresses. But what did God say? Yes, you can. And even though they didn't receive that, 40 years later, that generation said, we are walking more by what the Word said than what we can see. Why? Because that spirit realm is more real than this realm. Yeah. Yeah. That realm that you can't see, which was what? Let there be light. You can't see, let there be light. Yeah, you can't see that. But you saw the results of the unseen saying, let there be light. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. And that's what we have to get our attention on. What we can't see in the Word of God, and just look at the Word. Yeah. Yeah. And not look at the circumstances. The Bible says Abraham was able to do this. Can you imagine what I'm just telling you, like, I know it would take, you have to work with the dog and establish a relationship. But I'm telling you, if they blindfolded me and put me with that dog, my senses would be going crazy. I would have so much trouble trusting, and that's become her life, just fully trusting that animal. And it's getting her through everything. It's helping her navigate all through life by trusting in that animal. And it's like, that's what people, what do they do? People are so dependent. You know, she has to get to the place where you can imagine thoughts would tell her, I don't know if I should cross right now, and the dog saying cross. This doesn't feel like the way we came before. It doesn't feel like this would be the right way, and it seems like this would be dangerous, but the dog's saying, let's go. Yeah. So many people do not trust God that way and never get into things, because it's faith. That's what faith is. Yeah. It's being able to be in a chronic sickness for 2 years and to just be fully persuaded, because only because God said in Jeremiah 30:17, I will heal you, I will restore health in you and heal you of your wounds. That's all I had. I will restore health in you and heal you of your wounds. And I remember crying tears of pain on walks and being doubled over and just saying, Father, I know this is true. I know this is true. My body's telling me. But you got to take your eyes off those things. Yeah. Got to take your eyes off those things. We'll close with this, Hebrews 6:18. I told you about, when I talk about the $250,000 house, that might seem like a lot to some people. It might not seem like very much to some people. To me, it seems like a lot, and it was, especially for the position I was in, I didn't have no business having a $50,000 home with the amount of money that I was making when God told me that. But can you imagine what my natural senses were saying to me? Yeah. thinking about, okay, so what that I can get into it? Now I got to, what you obtain, you have to maintain.
That's right.
The only thing, there was nothing natural that I could look at and say, okay, this is some relief as to how this is going to work out. Mm-hmm. Or the $2,000 a month, sure. Okay, this is, there's a back-end family member that I could call in an emergency and they'll send the money. There's none of that. There's a church member that's told me, if you ever get in a pinch, you know, come to me. No, there's none of that. There was no secret stash of money that, you know, even like some people rely on like 401ks and you get penalized for taking out, but at least there's a fallout there. There's a backup plan. No, there's none of that. The only reason in all those situations that I made it was because I became solely focused and put the blinders on the Word of God. He told me to do it. He told me the house is mine. You have to see with your spiritual eyes. Hebrews 6:18, and we'll close with this. This will help you now to recognize this. It says, well, first I want to just read 13. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but verse 13 it says, when God made a promise to Abraham because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely I'll bless you and multiply, and I'll multiply you. And after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. So the Bible's telling you here that God spoke something to Abraham, and it says in verse 18 that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge for lay hold upon that hope set before us. But this is what I want you to see. And look at verse 19, says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. The Word is our anchor. And what you need to know about the Word in comparison to circumstances is the Word, even though you can't see it, is more real.
Yeah.
Because that Word came from, how many times have circumstances lied to you? Think about it now. This will help you to really maybe start trash talking those circumstances, to start maybe dressing them down a little and saying, and you know, stripping away their power. How many times has your bills told you this is it? They're testifying, but they're liars. How many times has your body told you it's never getting better? But they lied to you. And the whole time in the backside, God is saying, you're healed. And he never lied. Your finances are fine with him. What you have to become convinced of is that when God says it, it's your answer, but that he doesn't lie. No matter what the circumstances feel or you see or you can put your hands on, God is not a liar. If he said, this is my house, doesn't matter what everything else is telling me. God can't lie to me. If he said, I'll be okay, $2,000 short a month, it's okay. It doesn't matter. Jake, if he told you to move down to Allegheny, quit your job, and come down here and be my head usher, it doesn't matter what the natural says. If God says it, provision's coming.
Amen. Amen.
It's true.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. God can't lie.
Amen.
And so this whole thing with faith centers around his Word. And grabbing onto his Word and believing his Word and looking at his Word. The only thing that got Peter out of the boat to walk on the water was looking at the Word.
Good.
Everything else testified differently.
Praise God.
So we need to know that faith is conviction. It's being sold out. And if you're not there, you need to get there. How? Meditating the Word. Till what? Till that day star rises in your heart. Till all of a sudden something clicks over. You're like, uh-oh, something's different. I know, because just recently you cross over into some things, you know, and it's like, oh, I see the difference now of being convinced and persuaded and not being convinced and persuaded. The day star rises in your heart. How did it come? By the Word. The Word causes things to rise in your heart. And if you'll get in the Word enough and meditate in those things, all of a sudden I got to a place where it's like, ah, you hear that sound? It's like $2,000 a month. So what? A $250,000 home and a mortgage, making what I'm making and can't even pay a $50,000 mortgage? That's okay. But how did that come? Faith from the Word. The Word, amen?
Amen.
Well, we're growing.
Amen.
I love it. Praise God. Thank you for being such a good church and receiving. Y'all were hungry tonight. It was easy to preach. Father, we love you tonight. We're just grateful. We're thankful for the message of faith, Father, for the Word of faith. Father, it is the force that you've given us, Father, to walk into every single thing that you have for us. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your goodness. Father, just because the natural and the world shows us something and tells us something, we're not stuck with that. We're not stuck with impossibles and incurables and no hopes and no way out. No, faith is the trump card. Faith is the thing that can change it and turn it all around. So, Father, we thank you tonight that we are growing in our faith, that things are being put in us. Because, Father, there's things that we need changed in our lives, and there's things that we need to bring to the table for the body of Christ. So we say we receive what you spoke to us tonight, and we're never going to be the same in Jesus' name. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. Ask yourself this question if you're watching by live stream or if you're in this service. If today were my last day on planet Earth, do I know that I would go to heaven? When I ask myself that question, I know the answer is yes. And let me tell you, you want to go to heaven. But heaven's not automatic. God provided heaven for people, but there's a way to get into heaven. And the way is by doing what the Bible says, is receiving and believing in Jesus. And so if you're here tonight or watching a live stream, you could say, I don't know if I'd go to heaven, but I sure would like to. I want to tell you what the Bible says, not what I think or what somebody else thinks or what a church or a ministry or religion thinks. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that if you'll believe on Jesus, you'll not perish but have everlasting life. So if you're here and you can say, Pastor Mike, I don't know if I'd go to heaven, but I want to. Or if you're watching online and you echo those same sentiments, I'm here to tell you it's easy, it's simple. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here tonight, you've never accepted Jesus into your heart. You've never made him your Lord and Savior. And he loves you. He just wants to come into your heart and help you. If you've never received Jesus into your heart, and you want to receive Jesus tonight, nobody's looking around, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, would you just raise your hand if you want to receive Jesus tonight? Anybody want to receive him and know that you're going to heaven? Anybody at all? I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you for your boldness. Now, if you're watching online, of course, I can't see your hand, but hands raised are not what gets you saved. So for that person that raised their hand, there's only one thing left to do. It's to ask Jesus into your life. You know, he's not rude. He's not, you know, a thief. He doesn't bust down the door. He wants an invitation. And so the last thing we're going to do is we're going to all pray together. And for that person that raised your hand, I want you to repeat this prayer after me along with everybody in the church. It won't be just your voice. It'll be everybody. And this prayer is basically going to be inviting Jesus. And anybody on live stream that needs to do this, hop in on this prayer and just believe with all your heart. But say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died on the cross. And I believe you rose again. And I ask you to come into my heart, and I make you my Lord and my Savior. I receive that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you can look up here. If you prayed that, you don't ever have to wonder if you're going to heaven. It's a reality. God said you can have it. Praise God. If you're watching online and you prayed that for the first time, I sure would love to hear about it, because God's got more for you, and I can help get you into that more. And there's an email online there, and there's also a phone number. Give me a call, shoot me an email, let me know, and we'll get you started in your best life. But we were blessed tonight because the Word is good. Let's stand to our feet, and let's worship Him before we go. Father, we love you, and we adore you. We're so grateful, so thankful for your mercy, so thankful for your goodness. Father, thank you for everything you've done, doing, and what you're bringing us into. In Jesus' name. Amen. Before you leave, don't forget, put your offering in the bucket as you leave. There is fellowship downstairs. And also, we have service this Tuesday at 6 o'clock. Love you. Appreciate you. You're dismissed. Praise God.